us to start off the sermon today because of his memory of Doris Wade.
My name is Ralph Romanelli. I volunteer to visit shut-ins and bring the Eucharist from Grace Church. My wife Peg accompanies me. During our visits with Doris, we enjoyed her personable and frank personality and her positive attitude. At church, as a woman of faith, Doris would often join in our group at the side aisle for prayers and blessings after communion. The last time we visited Doris at the home, she asked for a blessing and told us that we would be going to her funeral in a couple of weeks, and that in the future she would come to visit us at Grace Church. I've heard the phrase heartfelt, but that was the first time I have experienced a heartfelt message, because that's where it got me. We will miss Doris, and we wish we had gotten to know her sooner. Thank you.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that Ralph and Peg took communion to Doris virtually on the day that she died. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Depending on the circumstances, that can be extremely difficult to do. In the case of the people to whom Isaiah was writing, they were a community that had been in exile for hundreds of years. Comfort was unlikely and would have seemed very far away. And there are many other reasons that people may be vulnerable and need comforting. This particular morning, we are remembering the death of a wonderful woman and friend who attached to Grace Church for many years. I think, if my memory serves me, that one of the first times I ever served on the altar and read the lessons here at Grace was when Doris's beloved husband, Harold, passed away. I remember it being especially difficult because Doris seemed so strong, and I didn't want to let her down by starting to sob in the middle of the readings. She inspired me to read with as much class as I could possibly muster. But no matter how she appeared to be, I knew she still needed comforting. And no matter how we try to offer comfort, pain is still deep and does not inevitably fade away with time. We, as friends and companions, must continue to hold those who are grieving in our hearts. But on this second Sunday of Advent, it's important to realize that God doesn't tell us and call us simply to comfort. Specifically, we are not supposed to be comfortable. We are supposed to comfort one another so that we can be moved to action. In the middle of our mutual suffering, the way of the Lord is made as fresh and as smooth as a new highway. The good news breaks through our pain with the promise of a new life and a new way of being together. I love Isaiah. A voice cries out, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The Gospel of Mark begins with the words that we heard today, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, Son of God. There is no birth in Bethlehem, like Matthew gives us. And it's not like the Gospel of John, which begins, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God." Mark just gets right down to it. And shortly after that brief introduction, Mark quotes the prophet Isaiah. "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord and make his paths straight.'" And then John the Baptist comes forward with his strange ways, and yet he starts to show us what we are to do. We are to prepare the way for Jesus, and Jesus will prepare a road for us. I don't think this has anything to do with mountains falling down or the earth being devastated by some massive actions that will make the earth flat. I think it has a lot more to do with people leveling the playing field for all. I don't believe that in God's eyes, some people are very important and worthy of special treatment, while others are left to fend for themselves. None of God's children exist so that others can abuse them or treat them with cruelty, or in any way diminish their value as a child of God. Whether it appears to you or not, this is a season of darkness. The world is in great turmoil, and bad, even evil, things are happening. The fact that today's upheavals in our country and between our country and other countries and in other parts of the world and between people in our society correspond with Advent may be a coincidence. Or it may be the perfect time to wait and pray as we do in Advent, that at the end of all the upheaval, the path may be made straight and true for our Lord and Savior. In God's time, people who have suffered from repression will be given a whole new chance to live their lives in the fullness that God intends. And we will all be comforted. But we have to do our part. We cannot hope for a new corrupt power to replace that which is being torn down. We cannot pray that some will stumble and be lost while the road is being leveled. We must pray that evil will not win out in the cover of darkness. All of us, with all our flaws and shortcomings, must be prepared for the dawn to break with the birth of a child that will reveal to us again that God loves us unconditionally. Now is the time to wait and repent and pray for what is to come. I think all of you were given a little slip of paper as you came in today. It has a lovely chant that we actually sang at the convention this year. So some people I know this. But John and I are going to sing through the first verse together. And then I invite you to sing beginning with verse 1 and sing the entire chant. And don't overlook the last verse 4, which is ooh, 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 ooh. Remember to say that because it is a meditation. John? I believe in the Son. I believe in the Son. Even when it's not shining. I believe in the Son. I believe in the Son. Even when it's not shining. I believe in love. I believe in love. Even when I don't feel it. I believe in God. I believe in God. Even when it is silent. Ooh.